Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. The guy over there is Greg Kot. You can't actually see that on your podcast. But this week, we are talking with our producer, Alex Claiborne, about her experiences at the recent Pitchfork Music Festival.
But first, you and I have a few more picks that we couldn't fit on our last Buried Treasure episode. Why don't you go first?
Yes, Greg, in the same way that in the full episode I was talking about Pat Thomas and knowing him forever, I feel like I grew up with one half of this next artistic pair. Dan Zanes was the lead singer and guitarist in the mighty Del Fuegos out of Boston. Man, you know, bluesy garage rock. I saw the Del Fuegos easily 36 times in the indie rock 80s, opening for REM, opening for the DBs, opening for the Replacements. Everybody, I always loved what Dan and his brother Warren were doing with that band. Dan has never stopped making great music. About a million years ago, you and I did a show on great kids rock, right? Yeah. When our kids were just about still in that genre, right? He's made many family-friendly children's music records. Dan is now happily married to an extraordinary wife, Claudia, a Haitian-American music therapist and jazz vocalist. And they're living in Baltimore. They have put together their first album as a duo. And it's just coming out now. Let Love Be Your Guide. Family-friendly is how they put it, right? But this single is certainly not, you know, restricted or talking down to any age. Coming Down is, I think, a fantastic modern civil rights anthem. It is taking on every issue of our time with these two great voices and offering hope. Someday we could all be free. Free of patriarchy, free of racism, free of oppression, and it kind of goes around like that. You know, it takes on just about every problem we have in 2021, and yet it makes you feel like we got this, we can do it. And I just love this. Coming Down by Dan and Claudia Zanes.
Can you see? White supremacy coming down, bars of oppression coming down, oh hierarchies coming down, someday we could all be free.
The great Dan Zanes. You know, Greg, I don't like to live in the past. I think some bands have their day and then they're done, but I'd kill for a Del Fuegos reunion.
Yeah, I love that band, too. I'm with you on that, and I think Claudia's got a great voice. But, Jim, I got to say, this is not a song.
What?
It is a speech. I'm like, come on, man. You know?
No. Someday we could all be free.
I want patriarchy to end, too. I'm down with white supremacy.
Listen,
I agree. 100%.
Mr. Mavis Staples biographer.
And speak at the next union rally.
Mr. Mavis Staples biographer, if Mavis sang this song, it would be stellar. And it's stellar right now.
No, it's not stellar. It's not, like I said, it's a speech. It's a speech. It's not a song.
Well, maybe you're part of the problem, Greg.
And I agree with everything that he's saying. It's just like, it's not a song.
Oh, we're getting casual on the podcast now.
That's right.
You got a buried treasure, Mr. Patriarch?
I do. I'm going to play a band out of Chicago that blows my doors off. This is their first album. Lilac is the name of the group. Ayudia is the song. The self-titled debut album is finally out, although I must say that the lead singer in the band, one Anya Davidson, has been in the Chicago noise rock scene for more than a decade. She was in a band that split off about a decade ago. Half the band went on to form Oozing Wound, which is a great metal band. I mean, I don't know if you've heard Oozing Wound, but I love them. I think they're one of the best metal bands in Chicago.
The name makes me smile.
Indeed. Well. They have a sense of humor, as you can tell. But anyway, Anya went on to pursue her art career and big into comic books, etc. But now back in a band called Lilac, which is, man, a nasty, nasty band that could have been signed by Touch and Go circa 1989. I mean, just the two-guitar carnage. The drummer sounds like he's hitting with he's swinging anvils at that kit. You would appreciate that, Mr. Dear Goddess, I'm sure. And Anya Davidson's got a voice that just blasts through all of it. Here's the first track on that album, Ayudia, from Lilac on Sound Opinions.
Ayudia by Lilac. I have to point out, it's I.U.DEA.
Right.
Otherwise, you may have a hard time finding it, because you should listen to it again, as I did.
This is a marvelous band. I appreciate that, and I hope you appreciate it as well, listeners, because that is very much in the right in the pocket of those great Chicago hardcore bands that have been around the scene since basically like the late 70s.
As always, we love to hear your buried treasure picks. We do catch up and listen at least to a couple of seconds of everything that comes in over the transom. Let us know at soundopinions.org. After a quick break, we're going to have the rare pleasure of talking with Alex Claiborne, one of our producers, about attending the Pitchfork Music Festival. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. Every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. We are back, and we are happy to have our producer, Alex Claiborne, on the mic. It's always a pleasure, Alex. It's not like it's rare because we don't want you. We are always eager to have you. What I want to know, though, right, is you have been all four of us on Team Sound Opinions have been super cautious, and we have been rewarded by not getting sick, right, in these troubling times. I would have had you pegged as the last of us to go to a festival, and yet you went out to the annual Pitchfork Music Festival, annual, returning. It didn't happen last year because of COVID. What made you go?
I think in two words, Phoebe Bridgers. I think was...
All right. Duh, Jim, yeah.
I am usually, you know, in terms of festivals, I'm kind of hit and miss. I'm not really a Lollapalooza person, but I do enjoy, like, Austin City Limits, and I do like Pitchfork, and, you know, I did go to only Friday this year, so I want to be clear about, you know, when I'm talking about my experience, that it just applies to day one of Pitchfork, but... I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to go. And, you know, thank goodness my partner was like, you're going to be very sad if you don't go see Phoebe, which is ironic because kind of Phoebe's vibe is like kind of sad vibes. So
that's true.
It's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. But yeah, so we decided to go at the last minute. And, you know, obviously it's an outdoor festival in Chicago for those who aren't as familiar. But we had a good time. It was good. And we were wearing our masks. We're both fully vaccinated, and I'm actually getting a COVID PCR test this week just to make sure that I'm in the clear, and I'm currently away from the Sound Opinions team.
That is responsible behavior, and we applaud you for it, being super cautious. You know, we had talked to Althea Legospi about Lollapalooza's safety precautions, which were questionable at times, right? I mean, they were allegedly checking vaccine cards. We saw lots of video of them just waving people in. Pitchfork is a smaller festival, had its roots in the indies world. It's a corporation now. But how did they handle the safety questions?
I thought that they handled it well. I mean, I did not go in the main entrance. I went in the press entrance, which is a little bit different. But from what I've heard, they've applied the same rules, which is that you need to show your vaccination card, either a IRL copy or a screenshot or a photo of your vaccination card alongside your license or state ID. To confirm that it is indeed you and your card. And then also, if you are not vaccinated, you need to have a COVID PCR test results with you that say that you test negative alongside with your license or state ID. Whereas at Lollapalooza, from what I've read and what Althea said, was you were supposed to show your vaccine card or a test result, but it was not confirmed with your identity. And so that was something that Pitchfork did that I think was really helpful. And hopefully moving forward, we can see more of these types of solutions so that we, you know, can get people coming in and making sure that everyone is following the rules of the festival.
Yeah. It's just a logistical issue, I think. With Lollapalooza, you've got 100,000 people coming through the gates every day, right? And I think at a certain point, you just, you know, hey, come on in. It's really hard to be really vigilant, I would say, for a security staff that is especially not really trained to do this sort of thing. Pitchfork's a fifth of the size, 20%. At capacity, they're at 19,000, 20,000. It's still a huge number of people. So, I don't know, did you notice long lines, people waiting? Because if they're doing this process correctly, you can't just send people through there, through the turnstiles. I mean, there's a long process here to get into the venue for each person. So how was that handled?
Well, and also in addition to that, Greg, if you have a bag, you know, obviously there are bag restrictions or a fanny pack, they have to search those items as well, which is kind of par for the course for concerts and festivals now. So you add in that additional time. You know, when I came in, the festival was a good amount of people, but certainly not at capacity. And I came in the afternoon I arrived. But in terms of long lines, there are always long lines for food and water. Water, they did have refillable, you know, water stations, but that was a particularly long line for a lot of people, which is difficult. Luckily, on Friday when I went, the temperature was fairly moderate, whereas Pitchfork is normally in the middle of July and it's very hot. Yeah. So, you know, September was a little better, but the lines for the merch were very, very long. I don't know if people were just really invested in the experience and like just needed to get some merch to commemorate the occasion, but I don't know what the break-in status is, whereas I know Lollapalooza every year kind of has you know, the fence comes down, people trample the fence, people sneak in. And so I don't know. Tons of gate crashers.
It's Pitchfork's more contained. Any other good music that you saw?
Yeah, you know, I had a great time on Friday. And like I said, Phoebe Bridgers put on a great show. It was really cool to see the audience light up and get super excited when she started playing Kyoto. And also, I saw a couple great acts. I saw Big Thief, which we haven't really talked about on Sound Opinions. But, you know, I had listened to their album and I liked it. But seeing them live actually was really nice. And it was a nice kind of combination with the rest of the lineup, where Friday felt a little bit more laid back than the rest of the weekend. So I thought they put on a great set, and they were right before Phoebe. And then also we saw Animal Collective, who...
Here's the thing.
I personally am not an Animal Collective person. The first 45 minutes of their set was kind of jam band kind of vibes.
Like two songs, right?
That's just not my cup of tea. I'm sure other people are more into it. And then the last 15 minutes, they played a really fun like set. Like they played songs and they were getting excited. The audience was getting excited. And they kind of did, they switched gears in the energy. And I was like, I wish their whole set was like the last 10 or 15 minutes where they played songs that people were excited about.
They played songs.
What a crazy change.
Yeah. Midway through, the psychedelics wore off, and then they decided to,
They kicked into a different, I was not in the correct state of mind for the first 75. You know, I was not in an altered state for it. So I wasn't able to enjoy the first 75% as much.
I heard Phoebe wore her skeleton outfit that she had on Saturday Night Live, right? So didn't that alter your mindset a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think everybody had their skeleton outfits on. She and her band came
out.
Everybody in the band, you mean?
Everybody in the band
I thought you were saying the people
in the audience were wearing. Although I did see several people in the crowd throughout the festival wearing the skeleton, you know, outfits and shirts, and they did come out to the Black Eyed Peas song, I Got a Feeling.
Yeah.
so definitely going for that fun, jokey irony that I think, you know, Phoebe, in addition to, you know, sometimes being known for having some somber tunes, has a wicked sense of humor. And so her band coming out to that song was pretty funny.
Well, thanks for reporting from the front lines of another festival. I wasn't sorry to miss this one any more than I was sorry to miss Lollapalooza, Greg. I mean, maybe I'll go out again someday. But you know, it solidifies for me. I have been to see some music in small venues, and I am so filled with joy to be in the small 150 capacity clubs again.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a gift to be able to see music again, but let's hope that we're able to make it through the year continuing in that same vein. And I will say this, everybody puts a lot of attention on the music industry and these concerts for mitigating, you know, the opportunity to spread the virus. I was at a ballpark, a Major League Baseball game on Friday, Wrigley Field, 30,000 people. No mask, you know, nobody wearing masks, nobody, no checking for vaccinations at the door.
What are you doing
allegedly
in my dining
you're supposed
room?
To be,
what are you doing
well,
here,
I
then?
Mean, the one thing I will say, outdoor, the difference between outdoor and indoors is a major one for me. And you can, in fact, keep socially distant in an outdoor environment. I think it's okay. What concerns me is the shoulder-to-shoulder packed in, you know, club, theater, whatever, that gives me pause.
They're selling over-the-counter tests now, and you got to take one before you leave.
I'll be right over
I'm
there.
I'm going to swab your nose. Yeah. I got one. That's it for this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. Special thanks to Alex Claiborne. If you've got thoughts on this episode or anything we do, start a conversation on our Facebook group or leave a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. To support the show, join our Patreon community or buy some merch at soundopinions.org. As I've said, I'm eager to get it out of the closet. As always, Sound Opinions is produced by Alex Andrew Gill, our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo, and our media consultant, Katie Cott. Thanks for listening.